As we continue worshiping, receive these words from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, the first chapter, beginning in the 18th verse. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Please remain risen and receive these words from the Gospel of Matthew, the 5th chapter, beginning in the first verse. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Receive what the Spirit is saying.
I'm so thankful for our music ministry here at Foundry, led by the great Stanley Thurston. Amen. Let us pray. God, we, your children, are listening. Speak to our hearts that we might hear a word from you. And we give you thanks in advance. It is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So this is the fourth Sunday of Epiphany, where we continue the celebration of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it is also the first Sunday of Black History Month, so happy Black History Month. Yeah. And there's some game coming on later. Somebody who wears red is gonna win. Gonna happen. And yes, Pastor Ben, it is Groundhog Day. And so with all the things that we have to celebrate, here this call of our life together gets called out by Paul as he continues in his quest to bring the Corinthian church together from their squabbles. And so we are reminded that the people of the church of Corinth are arguing about who's better, which group is better? Which crew, which clique is better? Now, I've never had church folks argue in my presence before. But that's what's going on here. And Paul has a message for them and for us that is going to cause us to do some long, hard thinking, because it's going to press against all that we've been taught in this world about how we maneuver, even as Christians. The scripture is telling us, for the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the very power of God. And then he quotes Isaiah 29:4, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. The message about the cross. Now, when I read this, I said, Paul, you just started writing this letter, and you're already at one of the worst experiences in Christ's life, the cross. Then I said, lectionary people who put this together, we are in Epiphany. Why are we talking about the crucifixion in Epiphany? The baby just got born and we just figured out the baby was here. Why are we talking about Christ's horrible death? Well, this message about the cross from Paul is genius, because it causes the people of Corinth and us to look at the death again in a way that brings us together. We know that these people were very Hellenistic in their thinking. They had come from different places. A lot of them were just country folk trying to be city folk. They were country trying to be city. So they were moving on up. Okay. And so they were coming together thinking that they had this brilliant idea that wisdom was the only power that they needed. That's what the Greeks or the Gentiles believed. That if we just get smart, we're going to be good. We just need to learn some more stuff, go to a fancy school or two, and we'll be fine. We can connect with God through this wisdom. And the people of deep Jewish heritage believed that signs told them how to connect to God. So if you come to church and you stand when you sing this song and you sit when you say these words and you pray this way, you will connect with God. And you've got to do it this way in order to connect with God. And so these two groups are discussing very aggressively, well, which way is the right way? Do we just need to just go to school and get enough education? The right education. Or do we need to do things a certain way, and like pushing buttons or remembering our password on our phone, you can get into God if you just put in the right password? And Paul comes along and says, it's none of those things. Paul says to us, here's how God comes to you, through the cross. Now, of course, it is foolishness to the Jewish people, because if something bad happens to you, then God must not be on your side. And what's worse than being stripped bare, beaten until you're almost not alive, and then strung on a cross and left to hang there until you die? Well, we can't get with that. That's not a good sign. That's why Paul says the cross is foolishness to folks who believe that they can get to God another way. Here's the good news. Those of us who believe are saved by this very power. There's nothing else you need to do. Yes, you can go to Wesley Theological Seminary and You can go all the way to the University of Cambridge and get a degree. Go Cambridge. And you can stack up all of the student loans that you want. I know I've got quite a few of them. And that's not the way. You can be smart in your own mind and be wise beyond your years, and that's not the way. You can come to Foundry, and I hope you do come to Foundry every Sunday, either 9 or 11:15, and join us during the week to do work. And yet it is the cross, this moment in Christ's life, that brings us all together. So Paul is saying, put aside all of the ways you thought you could get to God. Because here's the thing. Isn't it just like human beings to think that we're the ones who initiate this relationship between us and God? That we're the ones that did the initiating? How arrogant. That they thought that if they did something, God would appear like Aladdin rubbing a lamp. Y'all have seen Aladdin, right? Okay. Aladdin rubs the lamp, and then the genie pops out and says, I have wishes 3. How may I help you, master? God is not the genie. God is not Santa Claus. We can't just go and sit on God's lap and say, here's the things I want. God is the one who initiates this relationship with us. Before we knew we needed God, God was already in the initiation of our relationship. And Paul is wanting us to know that it's not our wisdom. It's not our process of worship. We have great liturgy here. It's wonderful. But we're already connected because God has initiated this relationship with us. And there's nothing we can do or not do to end that relationship. And so he says, where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? And so you can be smart. There's nothing wrong with being smart. Please. I am a nerd. I love nerds. Nerds are awesome. Be a nerd. I like nerd stuff too. You can be a great debater. We can debate all day about who's going to win the Super Bowl. But those things fall away when it's time to connect with God. God is already connected to you. There's nothing you have to do or learn in order for that to happen. I hope if you hear nothing else I say, hear that. That there's nothing you have to do or say, or learn, no process that you have to go through. There's no outfit you have to wear that would separate you from the love of God in Jesus Christ. And just in case you wonder how this plays out in your daily living, here's the danger in believing that you've got to be smart in some way, and or you've got to do things a certain way. When we go out into the world and we see people who don't do things the way that we would do them, we legislate against them. We keep things from them. We put them in harm's way. Those who we believe shouldn't be smart as we are, we legislate against them. We keep them from getting the good books. They get the raggedy books. When we don't believe that they deserve the same connection to God that we do, we somehow forget that they need heat in the winter at their school. So school starts 3 hours late. And so those children don't get the education, those 3 hours of education that the kids, that those who believe deserve an education get. And so it plays out in how we treat each other in the world. When we believe that we have something over someone else, or we figured out how to get to God in a way that other people haven't, then we walk through life that way. And we harm our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we harm our community when we decide that because you don't do it the way we do it, you don't have a connection to God like we do. And that's a very dangerous place to be. And so Paul is wanting the entire church community to hear that it is only Christ crucified that matters. And so if they're unhoused, Christ still loves them. If they don't love the way you do, Christ still loves them. If they don't look like you, they don't speak the same language you do, how they came into this country, it is Christ crucified that should live in us. Here's the other good news about that. I don't know if the other scholars believe this or not, but I just found it to be more connecting for me that God says on Christ's worst day on the earth, I want you to connect there. Because I've had some pretty bad days. I've had some really bad days. And that Christ can connect with me even on those worst days, lets me know that he gets me. And he gets you too. Can you imagine worshiping somebody who's never had a bad day? Like, well, what do you know? You don't know what it feels like to have someone break your heart. You don't know what it feels like to be in pain. You don't know what it feels like to suffer. That's not our Christ. Our Christ knows all of those things and so much more. And so when we connect with Christ at that place, yes, the Sermon on the Mount is great. And when Christ walks on water, very cool. But I can't relate to walking on water. But I can relate to being in pain. And I can relate to having a really bad day. And to be able to have Christ say, I know what you feel like. I feel it too. Reminds me that there are other people out there and in here who are having those same experiences. They're having a really bad day, a bad year, a bad decade. And for me to see Christ in them helps me to see their humanity so that I don't brush them off. So I don't say, well, what kind of education do you have? Before I start caring about what's going on with you, did you graduate from high school? Let's talk about it. Instead, seeing them and saying, they connect with Christ. Because Christ crucified is the place where we all should connect. And so Paul is wanting us to not put away our humanity. And the cross is a very human place. but to not put away our humanity out in the world, to not sit it down when we make decisions about the people in our community, in our city, in our world. And so God uses the horror of the cross as the message. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. And so then he calls us to consider our own call. And he reminds them, not many of you all were wise by human standards. Not many of you all were powerful. It's kind of a diss, isn't it? You're not that bright. You ain't got no power. And don't nobody know you. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. So God even uses you, boo. To shame those who believe that you've got to have something in order to connect with God. That's why we want you to go talk to your legislators. Yes, they're the ones with representative in front of their name. But God can use you to shame the wise. Go talk to the principal at your kid's school when things aren't going right for all of the children. Because God can use you to shame the wise. You don't have to have a certain thing in order to make an impact. And so I gave the first church service homework. So I got to give you homework too. I know, but I love homework. Here is your homework. Now that you know that there's nothing that you needed to know, learn, or be of noble birth or any of that stuff in order to make a change in the world. Now that you know all you needed was to be connected to God through Jesus Christ, what are you going to do with it? How are you going to take the power you do have? Even if you believe it's very little, even if you believe it's none, where are you going to take it and say, God, give me the words to say? How are you going to impact change so that God's kingdom will come on earth? Because you can have a GED, you can have a PhD, it doesn't matter. You cannot know what to do in church, or you could have been in church all your life. It doesn't matter. Christ crucified is all that matters. How are you going to make a change so that God's kingdom, so that someone else will see that God is reaching for them too? How will you live so that someone else will know that God is pursuing them too? How will you boast in the Lord this week? That's my prayer for all of us. May it be so. Amen.